You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
If you've taken a good look in the mirror lately, it may be hard to believe that you are made for eternity. But you know it's true, and that's exactly what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, talks about in this study on Through the Bible, as we hold a mirror up to our lives and learn how a glimpse into eternity can comfort us, instruct us, and challenge us to live godly lives. But before we're called to enjoy eternity with the Lord, a lot is going to happen in His program on earth. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible Bus for another great study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And while you find your place at verse 13, here's an introduction from Dr. McGee on the rapture, what we believe is the next event on eternity's calendar.
Last time, we made it very clear that Paul, as well as the other New Testament writers, when he's speaking of the rapture, puts it always on the background of what the Lord Jesus said in John 14, when he's speaking about actually a first century wedding. When the bridegroom became engaged to the bride, he went away to prepare a place, and then he came to take the bride to be with him back to the Father's house. And so the great anticipation of the church is the rapture. It gives a hope today. It gives a hope at the most hopeless time of life, and that's at the time of death. There's nothing as tragic as the death of a lost person. I tell you, many times you hear the howling and the screaming and the carrying on. Well, may I say to you, I don't blame them. They got no hope. But the child of God has a hope. The Lord Jesus is going to come one day and raise up that sleeping body of the believer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, nothing gives us greater hope than to hear of the eternity that you have planned for us in your presence. As the psalmist said, teach us your truth, your word is truth, and help us to follow you more closely every day until your Son comes again. In Jesus' very precious name, amen. We're off to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we return to this very important passage in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 13. It says, "But we would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are sleeping, that ye sorrow not, even as the rest which have no hope." The rest here, of course, are the unsaved pagan heathen in that day that were in the city of Thessalonica and in the world, for that matter. No hope, and the hopelessness of those without Christ is, I think, evident at the time of death, and it certainly makes a difference in folk. Now, Paul is making it very clear here when he speaks of sleeping, he's referring to the body, never to the soul or the spirit of man, because the spirit of man does not die. And we shall note that now as we move through this particular section here. I'd like for us to note the reasons that the death of body is spoken of as a sleep. And the first reason I would suggest is the similarity of sleep to death. A dead body and a sleeping body are actually very similar. I'm sure that you've been at a funeral where you've heard somebody make this remark, "Well, so-and-so looks as if they were asleep." Well, that actually is true. The body is asleep of a believer. And a sleeper does not cease to exist. And the inference is that the dead does not cease to exist just because the body is asleep. Sleep is temporary. Death is also. Sleep has its waking. Death has its resurrection. Life is not just existence, and death is not non-existence, you see. Now, we need to note something else here. Second reason is the derivation of the word for sleep. The Greek word goes back to a root word, kemai, and kemai means to lie down. So again, may I say, that word could never refer to the spirit, because what position does the spirit get in if it lies down? And the very interesting thing is that the word resurrection is a word that refers only to the body. The word is anastasis, and it comes from two Greek words, histomi, to stand, and anam, a preposition, means to stand up. Now, it's only the body that can stand up in resurrection. This idea that the Bible means a spiritual resurrection, there's no such thing as that. The spirit does not die, or the soul, and the soul and the spirit, they are not raised because they don't die. And we are going to see that only the body can lie down in death, and only the body can stand up in resurrection. That is quite obvious. Paul could say that absent from the body was present with the Lord. And again, we have used in Scripture this idea of the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Even the Old Testament taught that. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." That's our body, it's dust. God says to man, "Dust thou art, to dust shalt thou return." What's he talking about, the soul or the spirit? No, it's the body that was taken from the dust, and then God breathed into him the breath of life or the spirit, you see. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." Now, that's Ecclesiastes 12:7. So that we're talking now about the body, and only the body. There's another great passage, and I think it'd be worthwhile for us to turn back to it today. It's in 2 Corinthians 5. Let me turn there for just a moment, that we might corroborate this, that we're talking about the body. Now, Paul says here, and I'm turning to 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, the word for tabernacle here is skene. It means tent. And these bodies that you and I live in today are tents. Now, I do not care what kind of a home you live in. You may have a home that costs $250,000. But I have news for you. You live in a little tent, this body. That's really where you live. And there's no such thing as some people living in a slum area and some other. God put us all in a tent down here. And I'm told that if you take this body of ours, break it down into the different chemicals that is there, that you could sell us today, even with inflated prices, for something under $4. Now, your house may have cost you $250,000. But my friend, you are living in a little $4 house, sort of a 2x4 thing called a tent. And it can blow down any minute. And if you don't believe it, you step out in the street and step in front of a car. And I'll say this, you're just about to fold your tent and silently slip away. That's what's going to happen to you. These are very frail bodies that we live in down here. Now Paul says this in verse 2. He says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desired to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Now, Paul says we groan within these bodies. And again in verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." We groan within these tents. Now, have you discovered that, my friend? I told an old man that I met him at a bus corner. Well, this is quite a few years ago. Gray hair, tottering step. He must have been mighty close to 80. He was swearing like a sailor. And I told him, I said, "Brother," I said, "you won't be here very long. You're going to have to answer to God." He says, "How do you know I won't be here very long?" I says, "Well, hasn't God already told you you won't be here long? He's put gray in your hair, totter in your step, a stoop in your shoulder, And I have a notion that you have short breath, too, by the way. And all he's trying to tell you is you're just not going to be around much longer. You're living in this little tent down here, and you're going to be slipping away. And my friend, you better make that decision now. God's trying to tell you something, and you're not listening to them. Years ago, President John Adams was taking a walk, and he met a friend. A friend said to him, says, "How are you today, President Adams?" Well, he says, "I'm fine, but this house that I'm living in, it's coming apart. It's falling down." Well, that's the kind of a house that we live in. We groan, Paul says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." I know that when I moved in the place where I am now, I just had become pastor in downtown Los Angeles, and I really was a young man then. And I could bound up and down the steps up to my study and bedroom. But now today, it's different. When I come down the steps, I come down one at a time, and there's no more bounding. These knees of mine, I'd find out they hurt, and I groan. And my wife says, "You ought not to groan." And I tell her, it's scriptural to groan. I said, "Paul says we groan within these bodies, and I want to do my share of groaning." I believe in it, by the way. So that here, Paul talks about these bodies of ours. These are the bodies that are going to be put in the grave. They're put to sleep of a believer, and I can't think of anything lovelier than that. And the spirit goes to be with Christ, Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now here in 2 Corinthians 5, and I drop down again, he says this, verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Now, as long as we are here at home in this body, this is my home I live in down here, you haven't seen me. Many of you haven't seen me at all. But there are many of you that I meet from time to time as I go across the country, and they say, "Well, I came to service just to see how you look." Well, I always feel like saying, "Well, you really haven't seen me. What you see is a head and two hands sticking out of a suit of clothes. You don't see me. I live within this body. You see the house I live in. It's not in such good repair, but that's what I live in. I'm on the inside. We walk by faith and not by sight. Long as we're down here, that's the way we're walking." But listen to Paul now. Verse 8, "We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." And I tell the folk, my family, "When you come by and see me someday in the casket," now that doesn't sound very bright, does it? You have to face the facts of life. I said, "Don't say he looks natural, because I won't. I won't even be there. My house down here will be there, and it's put to sleep. And I'm going to go and be with the Lord." And at the resurrection now, and Paul's going to talk about that, the body's raised up. Many years ago, there was a meeting of the theologians and the leaders of the churches. That was back in the 20s, I guess it was, when the old modernism and fundamentalism argument was on. And they made one last effort, apparently, to try to get together. And so one of the liberals there, a Greek scholar, read a paper on the spiritual body. And he took the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, "It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body." And he put the great emphasis on the spiritual. And he just came down on that. He says, "Now, brethren, you can see the resurrection is spiritual, because it says it's a spiritual body." Well, the liberals applauded him. And in fact, they wanted to vote that the manuscript would be printed and given a wide circulation. And so there was there a conservative Greek scholar, and he was the one who was tops for years in this country. And so he said, "I have a question to ask Dr. So-and-so," and it became a death-like silence in that place, because everyone knew this man could ask some rather cogent questions. And so this man who'd read the paper reluctantly stood up, and he said, "All right," he'd attempt to answer it. Well, he says, "It's a very simple question. You can answer it." He says, "Which is stronger, a noun or an adjective?" And he could see the way this man was going. He said, "Well, of course, a noun is stronger than an adjective." And this man says, "Well, I'm really surprised and disappointed that you, an outstanding Greek scholar, have put the emphasis on the adjective and not the noun. You've given the wrong interpretation that Paul intended. Paul says it's sown a natural body. Body is the noun. Natural is the adjective, and it is raised a spiritual body. And he says the only thing that was carried over in resurrection was the body. That's what was changed, but it was still a body. But it's now a spiritual body, and the emphasis is on body, not spiritual. And, you know, they never did print that manuscript that man read. It was ridiculous when you really begin to look at it, because it's the body that is raised up. And it's the bodies that sleep in the dust of the earth. And Daniel used that expression, Daniel 12:2, that sleep in the dust of the earth. And Daniel knew about Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote, and Solomon had said, the body will return to the dust. Dust will go back to dust, the body, but the spirit goes to God that sent it. Now, the early Christians, they had adopted a very wonderful word. They used the word koimaterion. That was the word they used for cemetery. And we get our word cemetery from that word. And you know what it was? It was a rest house for strangers. We call them inns. In that day, the inn was at Bethlehem. Every place had an inn, a rest house for strangers. You could spend the night there. And the early Christians called the cemetery. That was just a rest house. And a motel is where you sleep. And today we call them motels. We call them the Hilton Hotel or the Ramada Inn, the Holiday Inn, or the Howard Johnson Inn or the Royal Inn. These are places where you go and spend the night. And you get up the next day and you're going to leave. And the very wonderful thing is that that is the picture of a place where you bury your loved one. You don't weep when you have a friend goes up and spends a weekend in a Hilton Hotel, do you? You rejoice with them. Well, the believer, the body's been put in a motel just for the duration. And one day he's coming and that body is going to be raised up, as Paul says. Now, will you notice as he goes on here, and I must continue to move on because this is quite a wonderful passage of scripture that we have. Now, he says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I'd have you note that it doesn't say Jesus slept. Actually, it says he died. And oh, how accurate that is. There's three kinds of death, actually. There's physical death, the separation of the spiritual from the body, and that's what we call death today. Adam actually didn't die physically until 930 years after the fall, but there's spiritual death. Paul says to be carnally minded is death. What does he mean? It's to be separated from God. And that's what happened to man in the Garden of Eden. When man ate, God says, the day that you eat, you'll die. That means he'd be separated from God. And that happened because when God came into the garden, man, he ran. And God and man are separated, you see. And Adam did die the day he ate, a spiritual death. And the Lord Jesus Christ made that very clear, that we're dead. And Paul says we're dead in trespasses and sins. And in Ephesians 2:1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a famous judge that went around over this country years ago giving a lecture on millions now living will never die. Well, I followed him, a famous Baptist preacher, and he gave a lecture, millions now living are already dead. And they sure were spiritually dead. Then there's eternal death, and that's eternal separation from God. Now, will you notice, Paul then makes it very clear. Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, this is very important, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we shall not go before them which are asleep. Now, Paul says, you've been worrying about those that died before the rapture's taken place? He says, well, I want you to know they'll have part in the rapture. Fact of the matter is, we that are alive are not going ahead of them. They're going to come first. Now, he puts it like this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, this is a very important passage of Scripture that we've come to here. And I want to try to correct something, if I might, today. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I love that. He won't be sending angels. Now, when he comes to the earth to establish his kingdom, he's going to send his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather the elect. That'll be Israel and Gentiles in that day to enter the kingdom. But no angel ministry is connected with the church, friends. Angels announced the birth of Christ, but how did they announce him? Well, he was the son of David. He's the king. And that's the way that he's announced. He's to be a savior. But the important thing was, a king is born. The wise men want to know, where is he that's born king of the Jews? But when you're dealing with the church, on the day of Pentecost, there were no angels. Well, the Holy Spirit himself came, you see. Now, when the Lord takes the church out of the world, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. There'll be no angels. Angels are connected with Israel, but not with the church at all. He'll descend from heaven with a shout. Now, that's the voice of command. That word of command, as he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And then the voice of the archangel. Oh, somebody says, wait a minute, there is an angel there. Oh, no, his voice will be like the voice of an archangel. The voice of shout is that of an archangel. That is, it's the quality of his voice, the majesty and the authority of it. And then the trump of God. Somebody says, well, then there's a trumpet there. Oh, no, friends, his voice will be like a trumpet. Somebody says, can you know that? Sure you can. Turn over to Revelation 1:10, and there you will find John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I heard a voice like the sound of a trumpet. Oh, there it is. He turned to see, and whose voice was it? The glorified Christ. And here comes the glorified Christ, and it's his voice is like the sound of a trumpet. Now, that ought to get rid of all of this foolishness about Gabriel blowing a horn, or blowing a trumpet. I do not think that Gabriel even owns a trumpet. And if Gabriel owns a trumpet, I don't think he can blow it, and he won't need to blow it. Do you think the Lord Jesus needed Gabriel to come and help him raise Lazarus from the dead? Now, I do not mean to be irreverent, but can you imagine this? Here he is at the tomb of Lazarus, and he says, Gabriel, won't you come over here and help me get this man out of the grave? My friend, the Lord Jesus won't need anybody to help him. When he calls his church, they're coming up out of the graves, the bodies. And what's going to happen at that time? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I think that's going to be one of the most orderly things, the dead first. Here comes Stephen first out of the grave. He'll lead that procession. He's the first martyr. And then there will be the apostles. And then that martyr period when 5 million lay down their lives for Jesus, and then they will keep coming down through the centuries. And finally, if you and I are alive, we're going to bring up the end of the parade. We'll be way down at the tail end of it. You see, the church has already gone in through the door of death. Most of them have. Now, he says, wherefore terrify one another with these words? Well, of course not. My Bible says, wherefore comfort one another. This is something, friends, that ought to comfort you today. And what a glorious, wonderful comfort it is. And actually, it means not only to comfort in that sense, but actually to instruct and to exhort one another and talk about these things. Friends, Jesus is going to take his own out of this earth someday. What a glorious, wonderful day that's going to be. And the bodies of the dead will be lifted out. Then we that are alive, whoever's alive then, are going to be caught up together, and they're going to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we're going to ever be with the Lord, and we'll come back with him to the earth to reign with him at that time. And he's going to talk about that in the next epistle, but we're not quite through with this one. And next time we take 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
For more of Dr. McGee's great teaching on the rapture, download the booklet, The Rapture Comes Next, over at ttb.org, Or if we can help you find it, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. We always love to hear how God's using His Word to encourage and challenge you. So drop us a note or an email at BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can always write to us at Through the Bible, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Our exciting journey through God's entire Word continues, so hop aboard and invite a friend along for the journey. Until then, I'm Steve Schwetz for all of us at Through the Bible, praying the God of all hope blesses you richly as you walk with Him.
Jesus made it all, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole Word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Thank you. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Savior Jesus Christ is soon to come. So we're all making preparation so that when the Lord comes, we will be able to go back with him. Praise God. So everybody out there in Radio Land, I want to pray for you before we get into the Word of God, because we need the Lord's help in everything that we're doing. We depend totally upon the Holy Spirit in everything that we're attempting to do, because first of all, we are praying and we're asking the Lord, give us health and strength and clothe us in our right mind and give us the understanding, the spiritual understanding of what the Word of God is saying. We take no credit for anything, but we depend on the Holy Spirit because he is our teacher and our guide. He's right there, right where we are, and he's there where you are. And we just want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you decreed in your Word, Lord, that all these signs will be following, Lord, all those that believe and trust in you. And the signs of the time are staring us in the face. Prophecies have been fulfilled, and we are waiting for the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is soon to come. We know that. The signs are there. He said, we look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. But there are many people today that are falling away from the faith. There are folks that are finding themselves doing other things that's making them more busier than what they should be doing according to what the Word of God is saying. So what we want to do in the name of Jesus is pray for them, Lord, that they will be occupied with your Word, with your business, Lord, that folks that are not saved, pray for them, that we will minister to them, and we will do exactly what you said, Lord, that we are to talk to those, because the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we're praying to the Lord of harvest that he will send more laborers out into his harvest and reap this harvest, praise God. So we thank you and we praise you for that right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to look at 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, praise God. And we're speaking about the latter times. These are the last days. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to try to figure out whether these are the last days or not. We can look around us and we can see a lot of things that's going on, but we must see these things through the eyes of the Spirit. Naturally, people are looking at things from a natural perspective, and what's happening is that they're saying, oh, well, this is what's going on. We know that the world is going crazy and so forth. But see, as a child of God, we're looking at these things from a spiritual perspective, from what the Word of God says. And the Word has told us everything. And all we need to do as children of God is to occupy until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes back. But in the meantime, we want to minister and witness to people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to pray for them, because pray for the lost and those that are going in the opposite direction, and some of them that have no intentions of trying to hear what the gospel of Jesus Christ is saying to us all. But we just want to minister to them. And that's our occupation, is that we want to talk to them about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that the Word of God tells us, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. So the whole thing is that people that are out there that are hurting, there are many people that are sleeping under the bridges, they are sleeping in abandoned store buildings and so forth, and the church has a divine responsibility to help those people in whom we come in contact with. We're not trying to do things to make ourselves feel good, but we want to be obedient to what the Word of God is saying to us all, because we truly know that these are the last days, the last of the last days, because the last days started on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 16, when Peter was speaking and so forth. But the point of the matter is that we just want to occupy, as the Scripture tells us, until our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ return. And we also must be ready. We must have our garments spotless. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We must think about the things that Jesus has done for us, because truly, we cannot go out here and tell anyone about salvation unless we're saved. And what happens is that we just want to pray for the lost. The Bible tells us to occupy until he comes. So that's what we want to do. But Apostle Paul was telling us here in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he's telling us a lot of things here. So we want to really look at that and see exactly what he is actually saying to us, because he spoke of many things. And there are people that are trying to keep laws and trying to have dietary desires, which God only spoke to the Jews about it. But there's a warning that is saying here in the 1 Timothy 4, because if you look at in the 3rd chapter there, he's telling us how a bishop should and so forth should be given, not with much wine, not for filthy lucre. This is a warning. So what happened is that now, in the 4th chapter, he's telling us about the things that will take place in the latter times, or the latter days. And we want to stay abreast on that and make certain that we're saying what the Word of God is saying, that we are not trying to have our own input in terms of speaking things that God has not said. Because I truly believe that if you are actually hearing from God, you will speak the words of God. You won't speak what you want, because God's Word is the only thing that's going to change all of our lives. Even the sinners and folks that are saved, the Word of God will judge us. And if we don't speak what God's Word says, then we're putting our words in it, and it will make no difference. It will have no kind of an impact on the people that are listening to it. That's why it has to be the Word of God, and only the Word of God. So Apostle Paul was writing this to Timothy, his spiritual son, because Timothy was going to be pastoring a church, and what's happening is that he wanted to give him all the spiritual insight or information that he could give to him. But it's amazing. He says here in the fourth chapter, 1 Timothy 4, he said, now the Spirit speaketh. So the Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of God that is speaking to us all in terms of what will be taking place in these last days. Well, before we go any further in it, I just want to let you know that we can look around and we can see the direction that the country is going into. We can see all of the things that are taking place. We know that it's not of God. We know that the last of the last of the last days is present. It's staring us in the face. And this is why we have to get the gospel out to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray for them and preach the word of God to them so that they will have an opportunity to make a choice of whether they want to receive Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, or they want to continue on their journey. We know that we cannot force anyone to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we certainly can present the gospel to them and tell them how good God is and what he wants to do for them in their lives, because it's not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance. So these latter times, with the things that we're seeing now through the eyes of the Spirit, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is soon to come. We can't put no date on when our Lord and Savior will come, but we know one thing, that he has said in his word, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So that's wonderful there. In the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we all must be ready. We must be prepared, praise God, for the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all these things are staring us right in the face. The prophecies has already been fulfilled up until the catching away of the church. But listen, Paul is telling Timothy, praise God, he said that the Spirit speaketh. Now, if anyone knows what the truth is, it's the Spirit of the living God. It's the Holy Spirit. He says that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, or last days, should I say, well, the Scripture says latter times, but in the last days, he says, many shall depart from the faith. Now, this is what you have going on today. I mean, you look around after 3 years ago and when COVID hit this pestilence hit this nation and so forth, people stayed home, and then after that, they still don't come to church. They would rather sit in their house and watch the YouTube and so forth, and I don't have any problem with YouTube or anything like that. But what I want to say is that they won't return back to church. They would rather stay home, and they're doing a lot of things. But see, the Bible tells us that we ought to not forsake ourselves to assemble together as we see the day approaching and what's happening. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to return, and what's happening is that we are together. The body comes together. Wherever the head is, the body will be there as well. So what is happening is that Paul is telling Timothy here that, now he said the Spirit speaketh, and that's what we have to keep in mind. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times many shall fall from the faith. Many. He didn't say everybody, but he said many shall depart from the faith. So that means that a lot of people today that at one time were born again, they were saved. And what's happening is that they became discouraged. They're looking at things and, well, oh, it's taking too long. I don't know what is happening. But I want to tell you that these are the last times. So you cannot depart from the faith unless you had faith. So if you have faith, you must maintain that faith. Keep that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, regardless of what is taking place in the natural. There are things that are going on that we know that is not of God. We know that it's of the world and the works of the adversary. But the point I'm trying to convey to you is that as the Scripture speaks, he says to Timothy, he says right now. So it's not later on or yesterday. He says now. And anytime we hear and receive the word now, he's talking about a present reality. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Well, we don't need to lose hope because we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is soon to come, and our faith is in him. And that's why the subject of this discussion here is that last time events. And we see what is taking place. We know what the Word of God says. So therefore, we as born-again believers are supposed to occupy, to be busy doing the work of the Lord, speaking to people that are not saved, so to speak, or have not come into the kingdom of God, folks that are walking their own way. But he said that these folks that depart from the faith, that they are running after other things. And what is happening is that they're being misled and misinformed, and they're hearing things. They have itchy ears. They have people that are telling them things that they want to hear instead of things that they need to hear. And this is one of the reasons why some depart from the faith. You know, when you have your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will keep your faith there, believe everything that he has said and what he has done for us as children of God. And then we will take them and operate according to his will by being an ambassador to take this word to many people, no matter where they are, to be a missionary, to tell people that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Get ready. Get your house in order. Listen to what the Word of God is saying. So he said, in the latter days, latter times, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons or devils. You see what's happening? They are leaving the truth, and they are following error, false teaching, and all of these things that are taking place because they've lost their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, some shall depart from the faith. He didn't say everybody now. He said some shall depart from the faith, but they will give their attention to seducing spirits. You know, they're being seduced by demonic spirits. And a lot of people don't realize what's going on. You be inside of a church that's teaching false doctrine, but if you don't know what the truth is, you will sit there and continue to believe what's going on. And that way you will not be in, so to speak, the will of God. You will be listening to demon spirits that are teaching. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but the thing of it is that if you are not preaching what the Word of God says, then you put in your own input into what you're saying, then that's not of God. Because the Word tells us that God's ministers God's Word. God has placed his Word into their hearts so that they will speak and teach the Word of God. So Paul is telling here, Mr. Glory, he said, some shall depart.
Some.
He didn't say everybody.
That's right.
You know, but some.
Some.
And some people are losing hope and faith in what the Word of God's saying, and they're allowing demon spirits. Because it says here, and they would, the ones that are departing from the faith, they're paying attention. They're listening to demon spirits.
Yes.
In other words, seducing spirits. God will not try and seduce you to do anything contrary to what he said. So it says, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. There's only one devil, but doctrines of demons. Mm-hmm. So in other words, there would be demonic teaching that's going on. That's contrary to what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Because if they're giving heed to that, they're following false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to say, and giving heed to to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And this is what's going on in these last days.
Yes.
In these last days. Well, yes.
They're falling away.
Well, yes. Well, apostasy, yeah. Mm-hmm. But what it is that the Holy Spirit is giving us all an insight.
Yes.
Now, this was Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he says here that the Holy Spirit is now speaking expressly that in the last days. Now, we know what these are the last days
these
now.
These are the last of the last days.
Yeah.
It's almost midnight. Seriously.
Well, and what is taking place is that a lot of things that's going on,
yeah.
We have to be really, really careful.
Yes.
And stay
in prayer,
and what the Word of God is saying.
Amen.
And not listening to anything. If it's not written,
that's right.
Don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find it in the Bible. Don't believe it because it's not God.
Amen.
I remember when Jesus was tempted there in Matthew 4.
Right.
And he told the devil that it is written.
And it's written.
So if it's written, in other words, before I even tell you this, it's already been established,
exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. So this is a very important passage of Scripture here that Paul was telling Timothy, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he said, some shall depart from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Some shall depart from the faith.
In the Lord.
In the Lord. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine, in other words, and teachers. Teachings of demons.
Yes.
That's what doctrine is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching of demon, demonic spirits.
Yes.
And then you have that behind the pulpit because you got false teachers, false prophets. They're not speaking of God. They're speaking something that the enemy is giving them.
Yes.
To try to lure them into distrust and not believing what the Word of God says.
Amen.
So some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the scriptures say. But actually, there's only one devil, so it's demons.
Mm-hmm.
And having their conscience, see, they've heard so much. You hear people today say, oh, well, I've heard that. I don't want to hear anymore. Tell me something new.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll get something new when you get what you already been spoken of, you know.
Right.
Spoken of. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Well, speaking lies and hypocrisy.
Yeah, and, well, speaking lies. Well, if you're not telling the truth, you are speaking lies in hypocrisy. Telling people something that is not really true.
That's right.
Telling people something that's not really true.
Making their ears, tickle their ears, you know, and it's really not the Word of God.
Right. And you have a lot of people today that they fall away because they have itchy ears, and they want people to tell them, or ministers, so to speak, to tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but they want to hear something that's going to make them feel good, tell them that, well, you can become a millionaire. Just continue to do this. And some say name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and all of this stuff. Well, God wants to bless us all. Matter of fact, he has blessed us all from a spiritual standpoint.
Right.
Apostle Paul said that in Ephesians 1, verse 3, I think he said, for God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in Christ Jesus. But I want to ask a question here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, to you, and that way we can put it over the air, is that if a person really trusts in the Lord, why would they want to run and try to have somebody to tell them that they can become millionaires and have all this money and stuff become? Well, if we're in Christ, Christ will decide what and how he wants to bless us.
True.
You know, it would be his decision to do that. And he said that he would supply all of our needs.
Because he
has a great storehouse of supply that he can meet the need they would have. But you have people today that are listening to a lot of people talking about, well, you do this and you can you can become a millionaire. God wants you rich. God. Now, you know, a lot of things have taken place where we know that the scripture tells us that he became poor that we might be rich.
Right.
But it's not running after no money. It's not running after no money. We are to be a blessing to all those. We are to help one another. But God is the one. God is our source.
Yes.
He is the one that will supply every need that we have. So this is why we need to understand what Paul's saying here by the Spirit. And he's telling us about, and they tell you to don't eat meat and don't get married. Matter of fact, he's saying a lot of things here.
Yeah.
He says, first of all,
okay.
Praise God.
I don't speak in lies, I prophecy, having their conscience here with a heart I am.
Yeah.
You're not believing the word at all.
Right.
Forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
So this is a warning here to us all, not just to, he was writing to Timothy, but to us all. So we don't get caught up in that, you know, speaking lies in hypocrisy and having your conscience seared. You know, when something is seared, that means that
you don't believe it at all.
You're not going to believe it, no.
No.
With a hot iron and not eating meat, abstaining from meat, which God has
created
to be received. With thanksgiving.
Of them which believe and know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much in here. We can't race through it. Now, time has slipped away. We have about a minute left here to offer a salvation plan, because I wouldn't want to close the broadcast out without telling people about the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ and that he loves you. He wants you to stay in his word, believe what he has said, and give him all of the praise. So that is not only to us that are born again, but even to those that do not know. Love and kindness have I drawn you.
Amen.
So we want to draw them through love and kindness, because they know what they're doing that is wrong. So we just give them an opportunity to talk and believe and receive Jesus Christ.
So open up your heart, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank God for this opportunity this morning. We know that he loves us all, and believe me, prepare, get yourselves in the position to receive the word of God from the men of God so that you can be saved if you're not born again. Well, I want to pray and thank the Lord for you tuning into the broadcast and that you would be blessed. Father, thank you once again. Touch the hearts of those that have ears to hear and to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.